Jumping into Sefer Shmot, last time we introduced the Parsha and the Sefer by looking deeply into the Parsha itself, breaking it down into its primary components. What we focused on was the fact that while there's a clear narrative that's happening in terms of the servitude of Mitzrayim, the birth of Moshe, the crying out, and then the need for the beginning of the redemption, the rise of Moshe, and the sort of stutter step at the end of the Parsha in terms of the beginning of the redemption process, we noted that it was a very weird opening paragraph to both the Parsha and the Sefer as a whole. The Elish Mot B'nei Yisrael Haba'im Mitzrayimah, Eit Yaakov Isha B'Toba'u. These are the names of the people who came down to Mitzrayim. And then it goes and lists all of the sons of Yaakov, which, as we pointed out, we already saw in Parsha Vayigash. And on top of that, it ends off with, and they died. Which doesn't in any way lead into the Sefer at all, seemingly. That's part one. Part two is, it should, if it were to belong anywhere, seem to be that it should be the concluding paragraph of Sefer Bereishit. Last year, we spoke extensively when we learned Sefer Bereishit that the overarching principle of the Ramban, Nachmanides, the overarching principle of the Ramban when it comes to Sefer Bereishit is, there are way too many people in here who were here last year not to know that, is Ramban, thank you, is Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. That the entirety of Sefer Shmot is laying the groundwork, setting the stage, paving the way for what's going to be later. This is the prototype. Bereishit is the prototype Sefer where, as we explored last year, everything that happens to the Avot are planting the seeds for the way that history itself is going to unfold from the first day of creation until the end of days. When, as we didn't get to talk about as fully as I would have liked to at the end of last semester, when Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David from Yehuda come together, like they do in Parshat Vayigash. When they come back together and we see the conclusion of the end of days of Mashiach coming and everything wrapping up. That's what we see at the end of Sefer Bereishit. It's literally bridging the two ends. And everything in the middle is laying the groundwork, as we talked about extensively last year, and that's, again, this is the overarching principle of the Ramban. Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. In which case, what would you want Sefer Bereishit to end with? Not a trick question. The end of the Avot. Which is what this is. Right? Yaakov dies. Yaakov does die at the end of Sefer Shmot. The end of that generation and move on to the Banim stage of whatever's going on with the next generation as a Klal Yisrael. What's happening with this? So not only should this have been the concluding paragraph of Sefer Bereishit, seemingly, but what is the actual concluding paragraph of Sefer Bereishit? You can look in your Chumashim. What does Sefer Bereishit end? What would we think it would end with based on this? Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. What would want to be the final chord of Sefer Bereishit? Come on, people. Especially people we were last year. What happens at each stage? The chord over Sefer Bereishit that takes us to the next stage. What happens? Baruch Hashem for Shechacha. If we have at each stage in Sefer Bereishit, the transition to the next stage was the passing away of one of the Avot. When Avram passes away, we also take Yishmael with him and we move on to the... That's what actually happens. What would you expect to happen, though? Yeah, Yaakov being the end of the Avot stage, the concluding paragraph of Sefer Bereishit as a whole, we'd like to see it be the death of Yaakov. Finish the Avot stage, move on to the Banim stage, great. But instead, Sippy, what do we have?
Yosef.
The death of Yosef. Not even all the brothers. That happens in the funny paragraph that transfers over to the beginning of Sefer Shmot. But why don't we end with Yaakov? And if we don't end with Yaakov, end with the death of all of the Shvatim. It ends on the death of Yosef specifically. If you take a look inside in your Chumashim, or on your sheets in source number 2, Sefer Bereishit, Perak Nun, Pasuk Chav Bet, Vayeshev Yosef Mitzrayim, Hu Veit Aviv, Vayechi Yosef Me'av Eser Shanim, Vayar Yosef Le'Ephraim B'nei Shlishim, V'chulei, we're going to skip that for now, going forward, to the very last Pasuk, Chavav, Vayamat Yosef Ben Me'av Eser Shanim, Vayechantu Oto, Vayasem Ba'arom Mitzrayim. He dies and they put him in an Aron in Mitzrayim. That's the end of Sefer Bereishit. The final chord is Yosef. Why would Yosef be the final chord of Sefer Bereshit? Not only that, but he also gets special mention and notice in the very beginning of Sefer Shmot. If you take a look back in the first paragraph of Sefer Shmot, when we talk about the passing away of the Shvatim in Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav, after naming every single one of the Shvatim, Pasuk Vav, Vayamat Yosef, V'chol Echav, V'chol Hador Hahu, the only one to get singled out is Yosef, who ironically is the one we actually know died explicitly from the end of Sefer Bereshit. Yosef seems to be getting a strong emphasis both as the concluding chord of Sefer Bereshit and the opening of Sefer Shmot. Question is, why? Now, we made a presumption here in terms of the end of the period of the Avot being Yaakov. Who lives in the murky waters of maybe being an Av and maybe not being an Av, and why?
Yosef.
Excellent. That was really just to see if anybody's at all with me today. Okay. Well done. Good. So let's go with Yosef, since he seems to be our central character today. Why would Yosef live in those murky waters? What do we know about Yosef that's true of him and not of any of the other Shvatim? Eliora?
Children on Mitzrayim, and their others.
They all have children. Sima?
Yosef isn't his own Sheva. It's kind of like his second half.
Zippy?
He doesn't have that second half of the too much that you need to leave out like we saw with the other ones.
No, none of the Shvatim do also, again. Meaning, if anything that's true of all of the Shvatim wouldn't single out Yosef. What Sim is saying does absolutely single out Yosef. Yosef is both one of the Banim of Yaakov, but on the other hand, he's also an Av. He plays both roles, because he produces Ephraim and Menashe. And in Parshat, In Parshat Vayechi, Yaakov, when he calls over Yosef, he tells Yosef, listen to the words. Perek Memchet Pasuk Hei, Ve'ata, now, says Yaakov, Shnei vanecha hanoladim lecha, the two children that you bore, the Eretz Mitzrayim, true, in Eretz Mitzrayim, ad bo'i elecha, Mitzrayima, li heim, they are mine, says Yaakov, Ephraim u'minashe, ki re'uven v'shim'on yihiyu li. Ephraim and Menashe are going to be to me like Reuven and Shimon, meaning they are going to be banim, making Yosef also an Av, or one of the Avot, to the Banim. He elevates his status, making him both, neither, but making him something different. And therefore, that's why they get in the next Pasuk, they're going to also get a portion in the land of Israel. Yes?
Is your saying Yosef becomes an Av?
If Yaakov is the conclusion of the Avot and produces the Banim, or the Shvatim, one of them is Yosef, but then that gets subverted, that while he does produce Yosef, really the Shvatim that we're going to talk about going forward, we're never going to really refer to Yosef, we're going to refer to Ephraim and Menashe, who Yaakov identifies as now being his Banim. But who produced these two Banim? Yosef, making him an Av. This is, with many other things that we're going to keep coming back to, are actually reflected in the very cryptic psukim, dense psukim, beautiful psukim, in the brachot in general, but the bracha that's given from Yaakov to Yosef in Parshat Vayechi. If you take a look, either in your sheets on source number 3, or in Bereshit, Perek Memtet, Pasuk Chaf Dalid, We'll start from Sukkot. We're going to come back to a lot of these terms. As you can see, these were originally my notes. So there's a lot of underlines happening in the text. We'll come back to all of these key phrases. Bein parat Yosef, says Yaakov. Bein parat alei ayin banot tzada alei shor. Vayimararuhu virabu vayistimuhu ba'alei chitzim. Vateshev be'etan kashto. Vayafozes rei adav midei avir Yaakov misham roe even Yisrael. What is he referring to Yosef as? That last phrase? Even Yisrael. Those of you who were here last year, what do we know about the word Even? Even is a conjunction of the words Av and Ben. And in the bracha, he is specifically referred to the Even of Yisrael. The individual. We've talked about last year how Evan embodies that because an Evan has an eternal side to it. An Evan is continuous. Stones are what take us and continue on. We mentioned last year as well the concept that that's why Jews put stones on when they go to visit a grave, as opposed to non-Jews who put flowers. Non-Jews who limit things to the passing and the temporal. Jews who recognize that life goes on forever in one form or another. And so therefore we put something eternal on a gravesite. We put an Evan, something which has an eternal side to it. That's embodying the fact of an Av and a Bein, that continuity that's happening. He is the Evan Yisrael. He is simultaneously an Av and a Bein. Because of this, Yosef becomes the bridge between Sefer Bereshit and Sefer Shmot. He is that bridge because he is both an Av and a Bein. He therefore closes out Sefer Bereshit and is going to open up Sefer Shmot. Because Sefer Bereshit is Ma'ase Avot Siman Lebanim. He's truly the end of the Avot, while at the same time transitioning to the Banim stage, which if we go back to the Ramban in his conclusion to Sefer Bereshit, which is also his introduction to Sefer Shmot, the Ramban says, it's in source number 4, but it says, some put it at the end of, some printers put it at the end of Bereshit, some put it at the beginning of Shmot, it acts as a bridge, so it's both. Where he clarifies, Hishlima Katuv Sefer Bereshit, now we finish Sefer Bereshit, Shu Sefer HaYitzirah, that's the creation Sefer, V'chidush HaOlam, the creation of the world, V'tziat Kol Notzar, and the creation of all things, Ovimikrei HaAvot, and also in the actions of the Avot, as we said before, Shem Ki'inyan Yitzirah L'Zaram, who like are a creation for all things that will come after them, like all of their children after them, like we talked about, Ma'aseh Avot Tzidim Al-Nabanim, they're the paradigm. What they went through, in one way or another, all of Klal Yisrael will go through over the course of history. Because all of your things, as we spent all of last year talking about, are hinting to what's to come. The sefer that comes out of that, the sefer that comes from that sefer of the paradigms of the avot, which becomes the sefer of the banim. Skipping forward a little bit to the second underline, this exile that we're going through, that we come out of in the beginning of Sefer Shmot, einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el mikom el mikom. The goal of Sefer Shmot is going to be bringing them back to the level of the Avot. So Bereshit is taking us from the Avot to the Banim, and Shmot is the attempt of the Banim to try to rise up and reclaim the status of the Avot. And the person, we'll talk about that more over the course of Sefer Shmot, and even a little bit later in Shir today. But the point I want to emphasize here is, he who's going to, again, act as that bridge is going to be Yosef, who's both that Av and that Bein. If we were to leave it there, that would be a nice idea. Let's take it way deeper. That is Yosef's essence to his core. What was one of the major themes that we said overtly permeated the entirety of Parshat Shmot?
Banim,
reproduction, procreation.
Shame.
Shame we're going to do tomorrow. Yes, and the two are going to be linked. You can already see the hints toward that. We'll get there. The individual who embodies channeling all creative potential and focusing it singularly on producing fruit and not wasting any of that potential. He who embodies that is Yosef. Yosef is the paradigm for the proper use of creative capacity within Klal Yisrael. On a physical level, in the realm of creating new life and children, in creating more bracha, more abundance in the world, Yosef is that individual. If we go back, what is actually the defining moment in Yosef's life that makes him who he is, that gives him his identity?
The moment with Eisha Potifar.
Eisha Potifar.
And that's not wasting potential because he didn't.
Exactly. Eisha Potifar, in a Maaseh Avot style, this story is going to be the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim for the experience in Egypt for all of Klal Yisrael, and we're going to play that out. What happens to Yosef? Yosef ends up in Beit Potifar. Eshet Potifar comes and, with no borders and boundaries, says in Perek Lametet, Pasuk Zayin of Bereshit, goes to Yosef and says, Shechvaimi, I want to have a relationship with you, a physical relationship with you, despite the fact that I'm married, despite that obviously this is not going to lead to children. I want to live in the moment. And she tries to draw Yosef in, and day after day after day, Eshet Potifar, as an embodiment of Mitzrayim, tries to whittle Yosef down, and Yosef refuses. Until finally she makes her last-ditch attempt. There's no one in the house. And she grabs Yosef. And she says, this is that moment. This is the moment where you're going to make that choice. Come and be with me. And Yosef responds and says, no. At the end, Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayanas Vayetze Hachutza. Yosef runs out. He leaves. And in that moment of being able to overcome the temptation of the physical moment, the temptation of Eshet Potifar, he ends up being the person who embodies holding back, restraining one's creative capacity to only utilize it for the production of fruit. To only utilize it for procreation, creativity, on all levels of being. And if we switch back to the bracha that Yaakov gives Yosef, it's all throughout that bracha of Yaakov to Yosef. Yosef is referred to in the very first pasuk, in Perek Memtet Pasuk Chaf Bet, in the beginning of his bracha, Ben Porat Yosef. What word is in the word Porat? Pri. Hinting to fruit. Much more explicitly, well, it's all poetry, so as explicit as poetry can get, but it's woven very clearly into the Pesukim. Vateshev be'etan kashto. Literally means, he stands steadfast with his bow holding the string back. And you can imagine where that imagery is coming from on both a physical and spiritual metaphorical level. He's standing there holding his bow back. He's not letting any potential, any arrows, spread forth and be wasted. He's only going to shoot when it's geared toward the future, when it's geared toward creating something. He's not going to let it fall into the limited temptations and physical desires of the moment, but rather stay there steadfast and holding his bow, holding his creative energy back, until he's ready to shoot it as far as it can go to create a future, to make sure that he's creating a reality of Eben, of an Avos creating Banim. What's the word that's used here to show that he's providing great strength in holding himself back in these areas? What's the word? Eitan. There are a lot of words for strength in the Hebrew language. What's unique about this word for strength, about its individual letters? Excellent. All four of these letters are what transform a word from present tense to future tense. It's a word of strength that itself is a strength that is geared toward the future. He's standing there, holding his potential back in order so it can fire as far into the future as it can with this word for strength that is used for the future. And that's what makes him Evan Yisrael. Yosef is the paradigm for properly transitioning potential from an Av to a Ben for the creation of life, for the use of creative potential, and becomes the paradigm for resisting the temptations of the moment that are embodied by Mitzrayim. That was a lot. Pause to take a couple of questions if there are any, and then we'll keep plowing forward. Yeah?
What does each letter do?
They transform a word into future tense. Trying to give a word that's easy. Let's say...
Sader,
thank you. Great. Sader, to create order, to create order out of something. Esader, Yisader, Tisader, Tisadri, Nisader. That's what's going to transform any word into its future tense. Thank you. Other questions? Issues, concerns? Does this make sense in terms of the text, in terms of what's happening here? Thank you. Okay. Yosef is not just creating banim in the literal sense. Yosef's whole essence is about not wasting oneself on the limited space of the moment, but focusing on the future to create, to produce. That's hinted to, in fact, in his name. His name is Yosef, Lehosif, to add more, to increase. Who is his primary descendant, who he's referred to over the course of time by that child as opposed to the other child? Ephraim. Kifrani Hashem be'eretz oniya, Kadosh Baruch Hu made me able to multiply in my children. And that becomes, even though it's the second son, his primary son that Yaakov puts first. And over time, he's always going to be referred to as Ephraim when he's referred to later on in Nach. His Sheva will be referred to as Ephraim, not as Menashe. Similarly, he is the embodiment of Bracha itself. Now, what is bracha? We often misunderstand bracha. We often mistranslate bracha. We explained it last year. We're going to come back to some of those beats right now. If you take a look from Tehillim, Perek Kuf Tet Vav, source number 6, Perek Kuf Tet Vav, Pasuk Yudalad, a scheme you should be familiar with. Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Aleichem V'al Bneichem. He uses the word Yosef, related to who? Just really making sure everybody's alive. Good. What does Yosef mean? If Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Aleichem El Menachem, what are you then? That makes you. What's the next word? You say it in davening. This is so not your question. Bruchim. Bracha is not just like, I give you a blessing that. A bracha is, I'm trying to draw down eternal life from the eternal source to create more in this world. If you are, in order to create a reality of hosafa, that's going to come through bracha. Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Aleichem V'al Bneichem, Bruchim Atem LaHashem. Therefore, it's Yosef who not only is the source of procreation, but what is his function in Mitzrayim? When he gets elevated in his status in Egypt, what does he actually do as viceroy to Paro? What's his job?
He's there to help distribute what's there.
Not just distribute, but make sure that there is an increase in the production of crops, so there is sustenance, there is bracha, there's an increase in productivity even within the land that will produce a reality that can sustain the world. He's always adding more. He's always producing fruit of all sorts as Yosef. That's also why, this is cool, if you take a look at the word bracha, it's created by three letters. A bet, a resh, and a kuf. In gematria, bet is?
Two.
Resh is? Chaf is?
One.
All numbers relating to the concept of going from a singular place and moving into a place of multiple. moving from 1 to 2. Moving from Aleph 1 to 2, Bet, to create an Av, which is defined by being the father of children. All of these issues always will circle back together. Back to Yosef, back to Bracha, back to Hosafa, back to areas of purity in the realms Ben Ish Le'Isha, in Arayot. A little bit further. Still with me? Questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah.
So the hay is just the source of Bracha?
The source is Bet Reish Chaf, yeah. We said that he defines himself in the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim level in his interaction with Eshet Potiphar. Eshet Potiphar, who embodies what Mitzrayim is all about. Mitzrayim is all about Arayot. They're all about living in the physical moment. They're all about sexual impropriety. That is what Mitzrayim is about. To the extent that when Yosef says to the brothers who don't know that he's Yosef yet, that they've come to spy out the land, he even refers to it in Bereishit Perek Mem Bet Pasuk Tet in your source sheets in source number 9. He refers to it as Ervat Haaretz, the unclothed land, the land with no shame, the land that doesn't cover itself up. Deeper than that, and much more explicit than that, there is actually a part of the Torah called Parshat Haarayot. There's a section of the Torah that defines all of the improper relationships that we are not allowed to have. Anybody know where that appears? Kedoshim is a response to it. It therefore is the very end of Parshat Achrima, which is relevant because we are going to be reading Achrima both because of Yom Kippur in Yanim, and then at Mincha we're going to read Parshat Arayot. What does that do with Yom Kippur? Question mark. Think about it. But we're going to be reading the Parshat Arayot in around a couple of weeks. But the Parshat Arayot from Parshat Achrimot, which is in the same Parsha as all of the Yom Kippur Inyanim, and precedes Parshat Kadoshim, because the goal of a Jew is to be Kadosh, is to separate themselves from what Mitzrayim represents, from the Arayot. The opening Pesukim in that section, in source number 10, Perek Yudchet of Sefer Vayikra, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Limor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amarta alehem, Ani Hashem Elokichem. Talk to Bnei Yisrael and say to them, I am Hashem your God. Now this is the introduction to all of the Arayos. Kema'asei Eretz Mitzrayim, like the ways of Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yeshavtem Ba, Lo Ta'asu. Don't do these things like what you saw done in Egypt. And also like Kana'an, which we'll talk about in a second, don't act like. But the people who embody Arayos, who when we want to think about who do we not want to be like, who are the people who are doing Arayos in a way that we want to stay as far away from as possible, who is that nation? The Egyptian nation. And in the same way that Yosef defines himself on the contrasting background of the Arayos of Eshet Potiphar, Bnei Yisrael are going to define themselves on a Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim level. They have to live up to Yosef and define themselves on the contrasting background of Mitzrayim. And therefore, every time Mitzrayim tries to beat them down with the physical world, even on the level of Avodat Parech, what's the immediate response in our Parsha, Parshat Shmot? They keep having children. Why is that the response? We asked that question last time. Because the immediate response of any attack from Mitzrayim by Bnei Yisrael is procreation. Any response to trying to limit me, limit my viewpoint, limit my ability to think beyond the moment because you're overwhelming me with the moment, whether it's through work or whether it's through Arayot. Our response as a people that defines us is to defy the moment and focus on the future. Build toward the future, not build toward the moment. It's who we are, it's what we are. It's what permeates the whole beginning of Sefer Shmot in the image of Yosef who closes out Sefer Bereshit. It's therefore Yosef who not just closes out Sefer Bereshit and opens up Sefer Shmot, but who travels with us all throughout Sefer Shmot. When we leave in the beginning of Parshat B'Shalach, when we leave Mitzrayim, Moshe makes sure to go back, take the bones of Yosef. Then there's this great pasuk that also appears in what we say in Hallel, which says, Vayar Hayam, meaning the Yam Suf, Vayanos. And Chazal, as only Chazal can do, say, the sea saw and it ran. What did the sea see that it ran? What did it see? So Chazal, with their tremendous depth, understood that that phrase was not used by accident. Where did we see the term Vayanos? Vayanas Vayetze Hachutza by Yosef. And it says that the waters saw the bones of Yosef, and because of that it split. When they saw what Yosef represents, and that he was with us in our midst, that caused the sea to split to allow us to leave Mitzrayim finally, and actually caused the death of Mitzrayim. That's in Medrash and Chazal, which should be on your pages also. Yeah, it's source number 8, the Medrash Tehillim. Explicit Medrash based on those Psukim. That's what it saw. So he takes us through the Yam Suf, parentheses, and we'll hopefully come back to this. We're so running out of time. But just Tzarech Iyun in the future, meaning say this is food for thought. Where else do we see water destroying an entire people? No. The Mubble. The Mubble, which you know had issues of Arayot throughout the entire land and the animals and everything, and it permeated the ground. The Mubble, which as we talked about as a response to that, was an outpouring of potential energy, rain, not unlike the potential energy that exists in the Zachar, but doesn't actually penetrate the ground to produce fruit, and just ends up coming up and flooding. The destruction of the Dor HaMabul was because of these issues through a flood. Mitzrayim, who suffers from these same issues, also die by being flooded with water. A term that we did not explain enough at all. What is Yosef referred to as? What's Yosef's kind of term that we give him? Yosef? It's okay, sorry, I know I'm going to finish over, I apologize. Yosef HaTzadik. At the beginning of Parshat Noach, nobody gives a lot of emphasis on this. There are a lot of people who do. The class of Mefarshim don't emphasize it in such a way. Eliyah Toldot Noach, what's the next words? Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya b'dor otav. That word already implying some deep connection on a level of tzidkus to these issues, to Yosef and to Noach, who are both surpassing in these inyanim. I wish we could unpack that more, but no, there's a lot to talk about there. Also, what word did we come across that also crosses those two stories together? Bateshev, Be'etan, Kashto, Brit, Brit Milah, Keshet. Keshet is a bow. Keshet is also a rainbow. Lots of crossovers in these inyanim between these two stories. Whole shear for another time, but recognize that it's all there. And that's how we wipe out the Egyptians, is with that water. And those bones take us forward. What was the other nation, without getting into the content of it, what was the other nation that we identified as the paradigm of Arayos? What is Kana'an getting in our way of?
Continuation.
Literally getting in our way of?
Agriculture.
Just getting into Eretz Yisrael. Right, we have to wipe out the Canaanites to get into Eretz Israel. They live in the land. And therefore, Yosef, who, I meant to double check this because I was pretty convinced, who comes from the tribe of Yosef, double checking that, I'm fairly certain that that's true. There's one thing. Naso, Balotcha, Shlach. Yosef. Ulmatei Ephraim, specifically of all of the choices. The representative of the Shevet of Ephraim of Yosef is, in this, meaning in the story of the spies, is Yoshua bin Nun, who comes from Yosef. He, therefore, is the one who has to go and battle and conquer Eretz Yisrael. And not only does he have to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael, but you know what the closing note of Sefer Yoshua is when we finally conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael? You'd think it would be the death of Yoshua, but guess what? Who is it the death of? Not the death of, the burial of. Yosef. Yosef's bones take us all the way through the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and then they're what's buried as the last final note. They come to their resting place when we finally conquered Eretz Yisrael. Source number 11. The very end of Yeshua, Perak Abdallah, Basukla, Medved, Vetatzmot Yosef. Where did they come from? They've been with us the whole time. Vetatzmot Yosef, the bones of Yosef, Asher Ha'aleu B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, Kavru B'Shechem. That's how we close out Sefer. That's how we close out Sefer Yehoshua, taking us all the way through. Because who we are and what we are as a people and what we're trying to accomplish is to make sure that we are a people, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, that we're a people that's dedicated to purity in these areas. It's who and what we are. We're defined by being born on the contrasting background of Egypt, which is all about Arayot. They give birth to us because we need to be defined as being the opposite of that which we are coming from. We stand against everything that is there, and that's how we and that's how we're able to be pulled out and define ourselves as a people. And so the beginning of Parshat Shmot is living in the image of Yosef. It's following off the very end of Sefer Bereishit with the death of Yosef and the burial of the bones of Yosef, which are going to take us through. And are going to carry us through a Parsha, which is going to consistently emphasize, and this is going to be throughout, consistently emphasize issues of purity in the, on the areas of Bein Ish L'Isha, in the areas of procreation. Because that's who we need to be deserving of redemption. We need to be in order to become Klal Yisrael. That's the buzzer. So, we will talk more about these inyanim and relate it to the mysterious word of Shmot itself tomorrow. Thank you.